Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you praise. We ascribe to you all greatness. We ascribe to you all power. We magnify your power. We magnify your presence. We magnify you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We magnify your word above all else. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we receive unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive open door of utterance to speak your word, to create faith and ability in the lives and hearts of your people. Lord, let there be an arising. Let men and women and children arise as you comfort in ministry to these people today. I release myself to you, O God. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We cover this place with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we condone of this hall from the access of the kingdom of darkness. In the name of Jesus, we release the divine fire upon every sector, upon every place in this hall today. Let no chamber escape your fire. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here, and I sense a very strong anointing over this entire place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going to do this ministration together, and whatever is left of the kingdom of darkness today will be removed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Amen. And let us honor the Lord by rising as we read the word of the Lord together. Let's rise. Stand on our feet, and we are going to read this word of the Lord by proclamation. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, we are going to read from verse 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Let us read one go. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And everybody said, amen. Now, before you sit down, just listen to this. In verse 4, he said, lift up your eyes round about and see. Can you see the deliverances? Lift up your eyes. Because if you look down, you're going to see the ailments. Can you see the release of divine power for ministry? Lift up your eyes and see. Can you see the healings? Can you see Satan defeated, totally flat on his back? Can you see it? If you have not seen it, stop looking down. Look up and see. The children you've waited for a long time, the Bible said they are coming from afar. They've been far away, but now they are here. The setback that the enemy brought, denying you of blessings, that blessing is coming from afar. Now, listen. It's not saying the blessing is far away. It's telling you it was far away. But because there's an arising and the glory of the Lord is come, the blessing is here. If you have not seen it, lift up your eyes. Stop looking down and see. This morning I command you to lift up your eyes and see in the name of Jesus. You will not see after the natural today. You will see after the spiritual. There is faith. There's no unbelief here today. Or if you think it was still here, now I rebuke the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive faith. Lift up your eyes and see. There's a lot of anointing. People are being clothed. If you have not seen it, stop looking down. To look down means to look at your past and see small me. Oh, me, I'm not an elder. I am not even in ministry. Stop looking down on yourself, on looking at the circumstances. Look up. Lift up your eyes and see. It's a command. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ekatatacha. Ukata. Shararamahosaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The theme of our conference is arise, shine. The Lord has given us a command to arise. Raise your hand and say, I will arise. Amen. When God gives a command to arise, it is for some reasons. I'm going to just name a few of them. Number one, for those who are down, God says, arise. I don't know what has kept you down over the past few years. I don't know what has held down your Christian faith. I do not know what has held you down in your spiritual life. I don't know what has held down your finances. I don't know what has held down your health. But God says, arise. There is the call to arise because some persons are down. For all who are down here today, for all who have passed through a lot, whatever it may be, God says, arise. And one thing, when God gives a command to arise, it goes with power. You receive strength to arise. It is not going to be by your efforts or by your strength or by your power, for it is not by might nor by power. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a grace. Each time we say, arise, there is a power to arise. The things you could never do before, you will begin to do them each time we say arise. And there will be a rising. Because the Bible says that the Gentiles will come to your rising. In other words, there will be evidence of your rising. Instantaneous evidences. If you believe that, say amen. When the Bible says arise, it means there has been some complacency. I love the part of the indication that came that said God was clothing people with ministry. For many years, we have heard and received a lot from the presence of the Lord. But people are sitting down. One of the prophets said, you have eaten and have become fat like Jeshurun, and then you are kicking. Arise! When there is complacency, when there is lethargy in the house of the Lord or amongst the people of God, the command goes forth to arise. The church in Nigeria will arise. We will arise. There is a command. The Lord ministered to me that one of the things he's going to do during this conference is the very thing we said, that he has come to cause the people to arise. Beloved brethren, you will have strength to arise. Those of you that have ministry burning inside you, but you are never able to give it or express it. And this is a word of knowledge. There are many of you here who you have ministry burning inside you, but always, always at the point of expression, you flatten out. You're just not able to express it. It is like a woman pregnant coming to the birth stool and there is no strength to bring forth. That has been the repetitive case with you. But today the Lord comes in strength. He gives a command. One of the things that makes our commander different from all other commanders is that when other commanders gives a command, they expect you to muster your own strength to fulfill that command. But when the Lord gives a command, it is fulfilled immediately. You receive strength, you receive ability to obey the command. Revelation chapter 4, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying, come up hither. It was a command. Did John flex himself up to mount up into the spirit realm? Mm-mm. John said, immediately I was in the spirit. What happened? The voice of command drew him into the spirit.
So when the Lord gives a command, when our commander gives a command, he does not expect you to muster any of your own strength. He can't even lift you into fulfilling his command. That word of command comes with power to fulfill the command that the Lord has given. So today when he says arise, every part of your life that has been complacent, every aspect of your ministry where you have been flat on the ground, there is ability being ministered to you to come forth and arise. You will arise and minister. You will arise and be healed. You will arise and be delivered. When we begin to pray, when somebody tells you you are free, look, it will come with a lot of energy. You will be free. The Lord will release you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a command to arise because many are in captivity. The devil has held many bound and he's hung on to them. He won't let them go. They cry. They weep. The prophecies constantly tell us during this conference, they've constantly said, weep no more. Weep no more. I get very angry at the devil when he makes God's people to weep and to cry. We are not going to cry for him anymore. Because there is a command to arise. And that command comes with power. And we are going to break free. It is the day of Jubilee. Hallelujah. It is the day of Jubilee. And all who are under oppression shall be released. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at our Lord Jesus. He announced the Jubilee. When he announced it, he told the people, he said, you are free. 2,000 years ago. So the day of Jubilee is already 2,000 years old, and it has not diminished in power. It has not diminished in its effect. Beloved brethren, as many as have one form of oppression or one form of captivity today, it doesn't matter the strength of the deity. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Sometimes we overestimate these deities because of the way they've oppressed us. Can you imagine if I come and I am marching on ants? If an ant wanted to describe the power that marched on them, can you imagine how they would describe it? They probably would not have any, vocabulary in their language to express it. Because we have been like helpless ants. And these things just come marching on us. But we are not like helpless ants because the Lord came and pronounced a jubilee. He is now the ant upon whom we shall arise and tread. That's why I said, arise, arise and shine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It will get clearer. It will get clearer. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a call to arise when there is the need to take action. Some of the times people will be doing things. A particular government, I won't call their name, met together and said, let's deal with Nigeria. And some brethren picked it. A group of people, small group of, they said, look, today you will get into trouble. You'll start having your own problems. Prayer group, are you all here? Hallelujah. They said you will get into trouble. From that day where the meeting was held, the people who held the meeting have been in trouble ever since. Beloved brethren, when there is the need to take action, God says, arise. There's the need to arise. I don't know what it is that has held you bound and troubled you in your family. Today, God is stirring up your spirit. You're going to arise and you will take action. Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. It says, but those that are wise will do valiantly. I want to read it. Daniel chapter 11, at verse 32. It says here, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. He said, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, one translation says, the people that know their God shall be strong. They will arise and take action. Hallelujah. There's the need to take action. There are so many reasons to arise and take action. Number one, the name of our Lord is being blasphemed by the unbelieving world today. They are saying, Christians, where is your God? Hallelujah. I went to book a hall a few years ago when we were to have a meeting in Abuja here, this national conference. And a man who was to book it for me was an unbeliever. And he told me the price. And I said, that's too costly. And he began to taunt. He said, but you Christians say your God supplies all your needs. So whatever I tell you, your God can supply it. Hallelujah.
I said, you are playing with the name of the Lord our God. A time will come when we will buy of this your hall. One man from amongst us will pay the money and buy it off. And we can use it. We can demolish it if we want. And remove all their uncleanness from the place and build something holy on it. Praise the name of the Lamb of God.
When there is the need to take action, God normally comes with this voice. Arise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've mentioned four reasons to arise and shine. One, when a people are down, then there's a command from the Lord to arise. And remember that this command comes with power. It is not just verbal things. When we shall say, arise from your sickness, there is a power that will follow the command and you will be healed instantly and you will arise. Can you say amen? Number two, when there is complacency, the world is getting lost and we are here sitting down. Some people are doing absolutely nothing about it. There are some of us here, our neighbors in the office, our colleagues in the office do not know that we are Christian. God says arise. Number three reason to arise is when there's oppression and captivity, a command comes from God, arise. Then number four, when there is the need to take action against the naughty activities of the devil, a people must arise. Amen. This word arise, what does it mean? The word comes from a Hebrew word that is come. It sounds so much like come, isn't it? Come, it means to stir up yourself or to stir up something. One of the prophets began to say, I will stir the water. To stir yourselves up. Beloved, many of us, when things come to hound us down, we do not know how to stir up ourselves. God is going to help us. He gives a command. The word arise means an ability, or is inclusive of the ability to stir up yourselves. Hallelujah. One day, Elisha had a sudden visitation. Somebody came and he had no word. Elisha said, bring me a minstrel. And he began to play. And as the minstrel played, the word of the Lord came to Elisha. He said, stop it, stop it. You can continue underground quietly, but thus saith the word of the Lord. He gave the word of the Lord concerning that situation. What did Elisha do? He stirred up himself. You think you are the only one that is sometimes caught off guard? Anointing is not flowing. You are not being tickled. And then something very serious happens. And you say, oh my God. One of the things, first things that come to us is that one call for a brother to pray with us. Thank God for GSM. We send text messages around. And we just mobilize brethren online. And tell them, look, pray along. This is happening. But more, that is good. You should do that. People need to be aware of what is happening. But more, God has given a solution to that. When you are caught in that way, it is time to arise. And part of the meaning of the word arise is to learn how to stir up yourself. There is the need to know to stir up yourself. Did you notice when the worship was going on, when there was praise, the spirits of our brethren were stirred. Hallelujah. There could have been more prophecies if Brother Chibuna wasn't conscious of time. Amen. There would have been more prophecies. If you left it, the anointing that came upon the gathering today, every one of you here would have prophesied. Hallelujah. There is a stirring that comes when we praise and when we worship God. We will come to that later. Let me quickly go on. The word come also means to make, to stand up. Many of us are not standing up against situations that come at us. We are not standing up. I counsel with a lot of our young ladies who are getting married, but we discover something in some of them. Some of them, their parents do not know they are Christians until they are getting married. Now, you now start having problems. In fact, when we want to stand and say, we don't believe in this. Some of the sisters will say, you see, let's just give them. We just give them so that these things will be off. I will do like this. You mean you will give them? Then when the trouble stirs up later on, we start praying and we start giving command. You know, the battle becomes a little bit more difficult at that. When things are happening in your family, there is the need to stand up to the things. Declare, I am not a party to this anymore. The word come means to stand up to something. Don't be scared by the magnitude or by the size of the problem that may confront you. When that problem comes, stand up to it After all, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The end time message says that God will have a body of overcomers upon the earth in the last days. You are a soldier and in warfare, whether you like it or not.
Hallelujah.
The word also means to be aroused when you are excited. There are sometimes you are sitting down. A brother quotes a scripture and brings out a revelation. Your spirit gets excited. And all of a sudden, you have a message. You feel like preaching. The word kum means to rouse up. The word also means to lift up, to get up,
to arise.
You see, beloved brethren, when God said, arise and shine, he is telling you, he's talking to a people that have down, a people that have been in captivity. And he tells you, stir up yourself. Arise and stand up. Don't allow the size or magnitude of anything coming your way. You move into an area and they say an epidemic has been killing everybody. Declare boldly that everybody excludes you. Rise up to it. Amen. The devil puts a sickness in your body and tells you this thing, nobody survives it. Tell the devil he is a liar. There is no sickness in this world that nobody didn't survive. People always survive. It may kill many people, but there's always a body of people that survives. Praise the name of the Lord. People have survived HIV/AIDS. I have seen somebody whose status got reversed. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm sure Lagos brethren will bear me witness to that. Amen. She's probably even at this meeting. Reversed. We have seen people, cancer cases reversed. People stood up to it and they overcame it. We have seen tumors disappear. We have seen people overcome all manner of things that the devil threw at them. Arise, beloved brethren. Let no man's faith be on the floor today. Arise, look up and see. That is the command of the Lord to us this morning. And then he said, when you arise, he said, shine. The word is awe. And it means to shoot out beams. It means the breaking of day, daybreak. It means a new dawn. When you arise, beloved brethren, as long as you keep looking up, you are not going to see the night and the dark times. You will see that the day is broke. Amen. There is daybreak. It is time. There is light. He said we should look up and see. Shine. The word means to kindle. It means to set on fire. To set something on fire. Beloved brethren, the word of God is very complex. When he said, arise, shine. When you arise, there is something that follows automatically. God sets you on fire when you arise. When you stir up your spirit, God sets you on fire. Something is ignited. We have this cooker. You know, many cookers now, you don't need matches in your kitchen. Women, is this so? Okay. When you come there, you turn the knob. It sparks, and then, you know, you have your gas is lit. Now, follow this closely. When you arise, you stir up yourself. What happens? It is like turning that knob. Fire is ignited within you. Why Christians are not on fire is because they never took time to stir up themselves. You need to arise. You need to turn the knob. The Lord has told you that you are more than a conqueror. And so one fake giant comes and tells you, look, I'm a giant. When a giant is introducing himself, then he's not a giant. Do you understand that? The devil is very fake. If you really even look at his words, the things he says to you, you discover that they are full of lies because he never tells the truth. Amen. He comes to you and lands. Bim. He uses the forces of nature, mirage, reflections of light. And you see a shadow and he tells you, hey, I'm a giant. When you see a giant, do you need somebody to tell you that he's a giant? That's to tell you he's lying. Look up. When you stir up yourself, you stir yourself up by taking the word of the Lord to you and believing it and standing on it. I tell you, beloved brethren, he sets you on fire. And you will see the devil for what he is. He is very small. He is very little. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You wake up in dreams like Israelites in the wilderness and some huge man. I saw a huge man. You know, when they are telling you the dreams, you just laugh. They are trying to tell you how big the person was. Very huge man. And then was pursuing me. And I ran and ran and ran.
And if you look at the person who is saying she ran, even somebody of her size will catch up with her running, much less a huge man who would take very big steps. That is to tell you that that was a lie in the first place. If you were to have stirred up your spirit, you will see that man for who he is. He's a little demonic black-tailed monkey-like demon. Praise the name of the Lord. That a wave of your hand can knock off. What Jesus did for you on the cross is our main argument. Amen. We sing a hymn. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
Arise and be set on fire. When you take the step of faith to arise, amen, God will set you on fire. Something will be ignited within you. The Lord showed me how that people came into this conference and they were going back. Each person had a huge flame of fire on his head. And we're all walking around and there's a flame of fire. And we are even oblivious of it. Not really considering that it was a serious thing. All of you are returning home with a huge column of fire over your heads. The devil will see it and take off. There will be no accidents. When you are going, the enemy will see the combined flame of fire on your heads in that car. It will shoot above the roof of the car. And whatever the devil places on the road, he will take it out. Or it will be destroyed. You're going back home ignited, on fire. Arise, be set on fire. Arise and shine.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
There's another word there. For thy light is come. The word translated light is also a derivative of the word shine. But it means morning. It means the sun. It means a bright, clear day. The word also means happiness. That was the one that got across to me. Joy. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. It says, you shall not be sad this day, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look, our brethren should spend less energy mobilizing us to praise God. We should just rejoice. Rejoice at what the Lord will do. If the people who are having infirmity of every kind, of any kind, will just forget about the infirmity and praise and worship God in the time of praise and worship, there will be more healings even done than when we preach and pray. Why? Because that is the time of the breaking of day. Beloved brethren, there is a dawn in your life. There is a new dawn upon your life. There is a new dawn upon your life. Tell your neighbor, there is a new dawn upon your life. Prophesy to them. There is a new dawn upon your lives. Hallelujah. This is a new dawn. For this work, this is a new dawn. For this movement, this is a new dawn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a new dawn. It's a dawn of the demonstration of the spirit and of power. That faith will no longer stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Beloved brethren, it's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had an experience. I will share it briefly and I will share with us four things. Towards the close of last year, the enemy had me, for some reason I could not understand, in many years, had me flat on my back. I was not living in sin. Of course, if you know me, you know that's out of the question. But things were just not adding up. And they were happening at a rate I could not explain. I told my fellow elders in Abuja Fellowship, Rakola will remember, I said, look, I want to take out time to wait on God. I must hear from God about this matter. And I decided to wait on God for a space of some time. And while I was waiting on God, I had an experience. And again, beloved brethren, I don't know why God always deals with me this way. When I'm waiting on God for something I want to know, he will call me and send me elsewhere. And I'll be wondering, Lord, but my, tell me, just go. Before I know what's happening, I'm feeling like I'm disobedient if I don't go. So I abandon it. And I was in Benin, 1983, and there was a group of brethren, we prayed together. Brother Paul, Brother Israel, you know, and a group of brethren, you know, the late Brother Peter, we ministered together. And I decided to go, and I felt an anointing. I said, I'm going to go and preach. I want to go out to the nations as a missionary.
So I went and took out some days of fasting. I said, Lord, I will not eat. I will not drink water until I hear from you. So I went into one church, locked myself in the church, and I was there. First day, second day, third day. The third day, I had a visitation. This was clear, like an audible voice. He said, Richard, get up, go and visit Brother Paul. What? I want to know whether I should go to India or Germany or Cote d'Ivoire or somewhere to go and preach. Go and visit Brother Paul. What is Brother Paul? Is a prayer partner, a brother who moves in prophecy. I didn't know Brother Paul was down and out. Brother Paul was contemplating suicide. At that point in time, he was going to just do a few things as his last doing and hang himself. Well, when the voice came, knowing what God was saying, I didn't waste time. I entered the car, just drove straight to Brother Paul's house. I got to the place, the whole place was empty. I came out of the car and I said, now what? There's nobody in this house. The Lord said, go in there and knock. So I went to the door and I knocked. No, I said, Lord, I have knocked. There's nobody in here. He said, knock. There's somebody in there. I kept knocking. The Lord said, knock harder. I was virtually banging the door. Then as I was banging, the door just opened. And as he opened the door, he turned back and was walking. I said, Paul, what is the matter? It was then I realized there was a problem. He said, Richard, why did you come? I said, the Lord said I should come. I've not eaten for the past 3 days. And now the Lord said, I should come and visit you. I've seen you. What's the problem? He began to weep. Now, he had leprosy and was cured and returned back to society. But the effect of it never left him. The devil would tell him, you don't go and infest the people with leprosy. But he doesn't have any leprosy anymore. He said the thing was too much, that he wants to just die. He feels he should not be alive. He was going to commit suicide. Look, my heart almost jumped out of my mouth. Paul, you actually want to kill yourself? The brother I'm talking about moves in some very unique prophetic dimension. You understand? This is a brother we were praying. I think I've shared this testimony before. We were praying for a Ghanaian lady who needed a job. This was Friday all night. We were praying. And the sister has been looking for work for 2 years. He said to the sister, her name was Sister Oko, said, choose, you are a teacher, choose any school in Benin City. The sister said, for what? And go there and teach. He said, they don't get jobs like that. Now, Friday, a man is telling somebody to go and resume in any school of his choice in Benin on Monday. Now, I'm talking of a prophet of that dimension. This sister said, we even had to encourage her. I choose Baptist High School, where the conference in Benin held. And Paul got up and said, thus saith the Lord, go there and resume on Monday morning as an English teacher. The sister was jolted. So on Monday, first of all, she decided to wake up late. Now look, this appeared very stupid. Sorry for the word. And she went to the place, okay, when she was going there, so that we won't say she was disobedient. Now the Ministry of Education was very close to that place. I don't know if he's still there now, very close by. So she decided, okay, let me even check. 2 years ago, I submitted an application here, and I have not heard from them. She stopped. As soon as she was entering the gate, one lady inside, Sister Oko, come. I said, we've been looking for you for the past 3 weeks. That they, you know, they employed teachers, English teachers, almost every school needed English teacher. They gave her a blank letter of appointment to fill the school of her choice with her hand. Sister Oko wrote Baptist High School with her own hand and resumed that Monday morning. And yet, this prophet wanted to kill himself, commit suicide, because the devil was lying to him inside. After ministering to Brother Oko, I went and ate, and my fasting stopped, and my seeking God further stopped. I'm saying this because this was another experience I had that was similar. Here am I with a load of problems, and I am saying, God, how can this be happening in my life? I have prayed, brethren have prayed with me, and I still pray. They stood with me. Hallelujah. And nothing appeared to be changing. Lord, what is going on? If there's anything I have done wrong, tell me. I can go from fellowship to house fellowship to go and tell them. What is it? In the midst of it, somebody will come and say, Brother Richard, the Lord says this thing happening is not because you have sinned, but my hand is in. Not once, not twice, not three times. Praise the name of the Lord. So I decided to wait on God. And as I was waiting on the Lord, one of the days I had an experience, a very unusual experience. I saw that we were in a huge complex, a house, and it was a hospital. At the same time,
It contained chambers where worship was going on, so I really couldn't tell whether it was a hospital or a church. But it was a place where the presence of the Lord was. While there, I saw that I could recognize most of the present persons in leadership here. We were all dressed, and a number of people who are not even in the leadership that I don't even know at all, were all dressed in hospital doctor's clothing. You know, when a doctor is going in for surgery, the way they dress with gloves and green apparels and all the caps, everything, we're all dressed like doctors going to carry out an operation. And there was an operation to perform. The operation was so complex that no doctor has ever done it before or can do it. And yet, we were like the medical doctor. I'm not a medical doctor physically. Praise the name of the Lord. Most of the people in the leadership I know are not medical doctors. Praise the Lord. We have a few who are medical doctors, like Sister Ada. But most of us were not. But Willie was dressed in green something, as if going in for surgery that day. Everybody here. And a number of brethren, many of you in different fellowships, we were all dressed that way. And then the Lord was in our midst, dressed exactly like one of us. He has his noseband, he had everything, his gloves, everything, just like one of us. We were going to carry out this operation, and we were waiting. He was around, we knew he was around, but he wasn't with us immediately. Then as soon as he came in, the operation was going to start. So we went in for this surgery. It did not take, I can't remember, because I had no sense of time in that experience, I don't remember if it more than 3 seconds. We went in and they said it was over. The operation was successful. Everything was done. The person was well, healed, completely made whole. And we came out. But while that was going on, I realized that there was another chamber where there was worship going on. The worship was on and they were singing a song. And they kept singing it. And when we finished, we just moved from there into the chamber to meet the people singing. I saw a group of people. We were all singing. But there was another set of voices invisible that were joining us to sing that song. We sang the song and sang it. There was joy in the place. I mean, I woke up from the experience, came out of the experience singing the song. I sang it after I woke up for a while before I actually realized I was still singing. I said, look, I'll forget this song. So I wrote it somewhere. I kept singing it. I said, wait a minute. If I forget the intonation, then the whole thing will be lost. I went and brought out my recorder, quickly set it up and sang it, feeling drowsy. I sang it about 3 times and shut it off. Then I went back to sleep. I woke up in the morning and I totally forgot the experience. I knew I had an experience, but I could not tell what it was. I say, I forgot this thing. No, how do I remember? Then I realized I wrote it down. I went and brought out the words. I said, but how do we sing it? I remembered I had recorded it. So I brought it out. That morning I taught my family the song. And later we taught it in the fellowship. And we began a very simple song. But what I want to bring out from this is this, that we, as we sang that song and as we praise God, this operation that was seemingly impossible, without any of us handling instrument or doing anything, it just got resolved. It was like nothing has happened. The most important thing was to praise and worship. That was the most important thing. Attention was not even on the surgery anymore. The song was simply this: we bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, or worthy of our praise. O Lord, our God, we magnify your power. We were singing it. When we will start it, it will just be us. Then when we get to a certain point, the heavenly voices will join. It will look as if the whole universe was singing. It will reverberate. And that one touched me. And we began to sing it. We began to sing it. We began to sing it. The Lord told me a number of things which I will share that are related to Arise, Shine. Praise the name of the Lord. The song said, we bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. O Lord, our God, we magnify your power. When we will say, we bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. When it gets to praise, the heavenly voices will join. They will echo it. It will be like everything in the whole creation was singing. And do you know what this that got across to me? That the surgery was not even a concern. It just was done as if it was a side issue. The main thing was to praise the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll take that song twice or three times. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Those of us who already know it, we are going to sing it. Hallelujah. Daniel, are you there? All right. I thought it thundered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. O Lord, our God, we magnify your power. We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise.
Yeshua, O Lord,
amen. God, we magnify your power. We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. O Lord, our God, we magnify your power. We bless your name, O Lord, for you are praise. Oh Lord, our God, we magnify your power.
Again,
we bless your name, oh Lord, for you are worthy of
El Elyon.
Oh Lord, our God, we magnify your power. We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise.
Jehovah,
O Lord, our God, we magnify your power.
Two more times.
We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of our praise.
Jehovah Rapha,
O Lord, our God, we magnify your power. We bless your name, O Lord, for you are worthy of
Jehovah Nissi,
O Lord, our God, we magnify your power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What must we do? The Lord showed me five things. I will compress them into four because of time. Number one, the Lord said, my people must understand what repentance is. Repentance. Everyone say repentance. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, from verse 4, the Bible says, are we all there? The Bible says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Amen. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. The Lord said, something is missing in the house. And that is the spirit of repentance. We are saying, oh God, pour forth your power. Lord, pour forth your spirit. Let your glory cover the earth as the water has covered the seas. But people are living in sin. God said, I cannot possibly do that because I would not want to destroy my house. There is a general attitude of lack of repentance. People are even no longer sorry anymore. The attitude people have in homes tells it all. A man and his wife have misunderstanding, and it breaks down to the point that they are considering divorce, and we are wondering what happened. Ask them, have any of you gone to the other one to say, oh, darling, I'm sorry? They ask
Mrs. Duru yesterday, our beloved sister,
and she told us that even when she was
right,
she went to her husband to say, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Somebody will say, no, I cannot say that because it's wrong. Some people would even claim righteousness. Our sister wasn't wrong. When she said, look, I'm sorry, didn't the Bible say, blessed are the peacemakers,
for they shall be called the children of God.
John preached the baptism of repentance, not just sorry.
I hate it when people tell me sorry.
What is sorry?
Are you sorry?
I am sorry is a better word. I am sorry.
You step on somebody's toes, you say, sorry, sorry, oh.
It tells our attitude towards repentance. Now, repentance wasn't, now I'm going to really talk some very hard things in this. If this is the only one we cover, fine. Look, in Peter, 1 Peter, I think that's 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 18. He said, if the righteous be scarcely saved, where will the sinners and the unrighteous appear? Many of us just think, oh, I'll just say, well, on that day, the blood of Jesus will not be of any help if you are living in sin. Unless you apply that blood to cleanse you from sin, to purge you, if you encounter God, you will not be justified. It is because of what the Lord did on the cross, the shed blood, that we are justified. It's not done in space, in air. It is meant to be applied. It is dynamic. It is meant to be used by you to purge out sin and unrighteousness and ungodliness. The dimension of the power of God we are expecting cannot come as long as the people are living in sin. John did not just preach repentance for the remission of sins. He preached baptisms of repentance. You have heard of baptism of fire, isn't it? You've heard of baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's something called baptism of repentance. When the baptism of repentance comes upon an assembly, they will weep and cry for their sins. Only God can comfort them. It's not a question of, after, you know, say, I'm sorry, you take the Bible and start reading the promise with dry eyes. It says, if I confess my sins, it's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Your heart does not have sorrow for the thing you have done wrong. Are you really sorry? That's why many people return to sin. A brother is leaving his wife and going into other men's wife and committing immorality. And he comes, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You are not. That's the truth. You are not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you are living in adultery, if you are living in fornication, we must say to our brethren, a people must have baptism of repentance. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you had a genuine experience, then you can have an idea of what I mean by baptism of repentance. When you are truly sorry for a sin, it takes the Holy Ghost to comfort you, to use the very word of God to comfort you. If you take the word of God to be comforting yourself in letter form, it will only kill you, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. It's one of the four rivers, one of the four streams that makes the city of God glad. Amen. Baptism of repentance. And this is a condition for the remission of sins. In the Old Testament, their sins were not remitted. Their sins were covered. If you remove the covering, the sin is there. But in the New Testament, under the blood of Jesus Christ, the sin is remitted. It's blotted out. It does not exist anywhere anymore. But the condition for that remission is a baptism of repentance. Whosoever covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Who is it that have mercy? Confessing and what? Forsaking. It takes baptism of repentance to forsake sin. What is repentance? It is turning around. Not only stopping what you were doing, but it's also inclusive of beginning to do the new thing. If you stop what you were doing, you are not doing the new thing. Your repentance is not complete. People will be shocked if they were to be able to get into the presence of God. Some people had near-death experiences and they began to, you know, recite some things they saw. Of course, a number of those testimonies, there are a number of things that are not consistent with the grace of God at all. But that's not to throw all of it away. There were many of the things that they never thought God was taking account of. A man continues to live in sin.
And he thinks Jesus Christ is my righteousness, so I don't have to do anything. Beloved brethren, this movement does not condone that kind of thing. If you repent, you must turn a new leaf and begin to do the word of the Lord, the new thing. All things are passed away. Is that where it stopped? Behold, all things are become new. If all things pass away and all things do not become new, then you are in your sin. That is the truth of the matter. You will not be a part of the kingdom. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Let us not toy with God, beloved brethren. God expects us to repent. We must turn away from sin. There is a general attitude of non-repentance in the house. People do things. You talk to, when people try to correct you, you shout back at them. Tell them, you are not my pastor, so I won't listen to you. A brother up north was committing sin. The elders got across to him and they told him, bro, stop this. He said, no way, no way. You are not my pastors. Are you my pastors? You are an elder, I'm an elder. You see, I love a fellow elder to be. I don't. One of the things that pains is when a fellow elder watches going wrong and doesn't say anything. You should say something. This one, so they withdrew their hand. Then he caught HIV/AIDS. And the next thing was he was getting married to somebody who has HIV/AIDS. And that was it. Destroyed his life because he would not listen. Beloved brethren, we cannot continue to condone such things in the house of God. God said, my hands are not short. To puff up my glory is nothing with me. It was reflected in that revelation, the surgery that all our hearts were pounding. Can any man do this? No man has done it before. No man has done this thing before. And we are going to do it. How can we? The Lord came in. It was done. There was joy. But there was no, it was not considered anything serious. What was considered serious was the praise and worship. And the people began to praise God, the angelic beings praising God. I did not want to leave that experience. My beloved brethren, it is important that we are able to know and to see what precisely.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's very important that we know there must be baptism. We need to pray for it. Today we are going to pray. God will baptize us with the ability for repentance. Where we will cry before God. Men will cry out to God in sorrow for their sins and unrighteousness. And the Holy Ghost will come and comfort them. When he does, they can never go back to that sin. Beloved brethren, it's important. We cannot toy with sin. There's repentance on three major levels. One is personal repentance. On personal repentance, David is an example. When we sin against God, we need to tell God about it. When we sin against men, we confess the sin to both God and men. Men must not leave personal sins in their lives and expect a miracle from God. There must be repentance. There must be repentance. We treat people anyhow. And then we expect that there will just be some miraculous breakthrough. We talk to elders anyhow. We speak evil of dignities. We talk and talk and talk all manner of things. At personal level, there's the need to repent. When you sin and your heart is not pricking you, you are just going to repent because the Bible says so. Beware. Your sins may not be remitted. You may have to repeat that sin. You find that a sin is not blotted out. You do not have the strength to avoid it because there are too many tentacles of that sin and ungodliness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. David one day committed a sin. He was complacent. When kings went to war, he stayed back. On the roof of his house, he saw a beautiful woman having his bath. Don't toy with your emotions. Somebody said, oh, we have grown beyond that. We cannot commit sin. And then you start hanging around with the opposite sex anyhow. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No. If you have become a eunuch, you are still not even allowed because it is not decent. Much less when you are very active. May the Lord have mercy on his house. David committed that sin and he tried to cover it up. That's one terrible thing about sin. When you commit one, if you are not repentant, you've not been baptized with repentance, you will try to sin to cover that up. And David did everything. There was no abortion in those days like some of us did in the past.
you know, David would have opted for that. I mean, where David went this far, he would have opted for that. Praise the Lord. But he called the husband of the woman home. You know the story. And eventually the woman died. David went on ahead, married the woman. When you have committed a sin, doing another good thing without confessing the first one does not remit the other sin. You should go to God and get it sorted out. The amount of good you do cannot cover the unrighteousness you committed in the past. You must repent of them. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciples went out, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why do we think, read the book of Jeremiah. Somebody said, that's Old Testament. You know, the Bible doesn't, in the Bible, James said, confess, if we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is what? Faithful. He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, beloved brethren, we cannot say, oh, we are doing good. Look at David in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O Lord God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build out the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Verse 17 tells us clearly about the baptism of repentance. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. All those who have committed sin will want to repent, come forward, and they all come fanning themselves and smiling. Oh, we are going to repent, you see. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, that will not despise. Sin, let me tell you, sin is like struggling for your life. Struggling for your life. Please, Brother Chibuna, remind me when time is getting closer. Now, sin is something that when you are dealing with it, it is a struggle for life. There's no way you can be dealing with sin and there's no tears in your eyes. Beloved brethren, God is holy. Somebody is living in sin and say, when I see God, I'll ask him, why me? Okay, you won't see him. That's the truth. Because you won't even get to him. Do you understand? So you will never be able to explain it to him or ask him any question. The only way you can do it is to repent right here. Repent. Let what you have done wrong touch your heart that this is wrong. How could I have done such a thing? Oh God, to sin against you. Look at the attitude of Joseph. You think Joseph could not have slept with that beautiful woman and repented later? After all, God forgave David. Joseph, what David went through, you don't want to go through it. You think it was easy. David, in repenting of that sin, and he had a clear attitude. When a man has repented of personal sin, if another person brings it up, he does not get angry. It kills what it takes to get angry. You commit fornication and somebody meets you and you have repented. You have even been forgiven in public. Somebody who was not there meets you and say, are you not the one who committed fornication the other day? Oh, you get angry and say, you start insulting him. You have not repented, because when your sins are remitted, it kills your ability to respond. David, after this repentance, was being driven away by his son. He was overthrown and he was running away. And Shimei came and started throwing dust at him and started hurling abuses and insults at him. David kept quiet. David was still king. Hallelujah. And Joab said, I'm going to deal with this man. I will remove his head from off his body right now for talking to our king. David said, what have I to do, ye sons of Zeruiah?
Hallelujah.
What have I to do? He said, you are a problem to me. He turned on the sons of Zeruiah for wanting to kill Shimei. He said, let this man alone. It's not true. Everything he has said is true. But allow him. Maybe because of this, God will have mercy on me. This is a man that has been forgiven. That is the right attitude. If you get angry because somebody does something wrong and you place him under discipline and he gets angry with everybody and says, if I knew, I wouldn't have. A brother went and started sleeping with other person's wife. And then they accosted him and told him what he did was wrong. And then that elder told another elder. And he got angry. If I knew, I wouldn't tell anybody. A sister told me, I prefer to die than to tell anybody. I said, die you will, except you repent. You see, God have no sentiments about persons who will not repent of their sins. There is a general attitude of laxity in the house that will not be tolerated in this work, beloved brethren. We may not be, gather meet a Sanhedrin and excommunicate you. God will by himself begin to deal with you. You should be happy if elders gather together and suspend you. That's a better punishment. Because our God is a consuming fire. When he comes around, he destroys everything that is not consistent with his nature. Don't play with sin, beloved brethren. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Only if people will accept the baptism of repentance. Personal repentance. What about corporate repentance? As fellowship units, we need to repent. Some of us are not representing the interest of God. Many of us, when we thought come out of Babylon, that message was supposed to have been proclaimed with love. And those of us that proclaimed it with love. But those who are taking it from us are going abusing churches. You see, a man of God, do you know what he may be? He may not be a man who is walking straight because he raises offerings and preaches prosperity message. But if he has an anointing, beware, beloved brethren. Beware, beloved brethren. Hallelujah. Because that is an anointing. Many of you that even go around insulting servants of God in the name of come out of Babylon, you do not even have the authority to do it. Did the Lord send you? Brother Fred said we should declare come out of Babylon and you go there. Brother Fred received from the Lord to proclaim it. Have you received from the Lord to go and tell somebody? If you go around and you start insulting people, you can tell somebody about the evils of the church system without insulting them. Never forget that some of these movements were instituted by God. They were abetted in the place of fasting and prayers. Some of these men have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I was in a measure close to Brother Benson in Dahosa. He supervised my evangelistic work directly for a season. Sometimes when I hear people talk about him, I prefer to do my ear like this because you do not know the level of glory and the cruise of oil that man carried around if you walked around him. That was raw anointing on tooth. And because maybe he made some few mistakes, allow God to handle him. That is not to say we should not speak against the systems of men that is ripping off people. That's not to say we should not talk against bishops who are traveling with other people's wives and their secretaries and living in immorality. What I'm saying is avoid insulting persons. You allow some of these men to muster what is left of their anointing to place a curse on you. It will work. If you violated divine principles, such curses will take hold. Let us be careful. There's the need for repentance, baptism of repentance at corporate levels, beloved brethren. What about national repentance? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent, it says, I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. We need to repent on the behalf of Nigeria. The attitude of even the church is to begin to cry in repentance for the sins of the church system. We are not sent to go out and abuse them. We are out there. The Bible says that God is looking out for those to whom the reproach is a burden. There are a lot of things they are doing there that are a burden to us, to the Lord. The Lord's name is being reproached. We are to cry out to God for mercy. Of course, in response, he may close down some of those systems. But it is not in your place to castigate men with your carnal mind. We need to repent. We need to tell God we are sorry.
Praise the name of the Lord.
We need to repent on the behalf of Nigeria. Many things are happening in the nation that are not acceptable to God. God said a people must repent. This move, there was a time we said, oh, we don't need the power of God now, the miracles and signs and wonders now. What we need right now is the character. And then we discover that men are not walking in character. You know why? Because it takes power to walk in character. One cannot operate outside of the other. You need power to birth character, and you need character to sustain the power. The church system was on one end. Then we came and swung to the other end. And then complaints started. Somebody came in and made such a statement. And thank God, Brother Johnson was there. Brother Johnson said, yes, but right now, if there is anybody who is tired of carrying sick, you can come. This brother says some people can wait. He said, but if in case you are tired of your carrying your own, you can come. Let's pray for you. We believe it can still be done now. When he told me the story, I just laughed. You see, we need to repent of such things. The Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, I'm a gentleman. If you say you don't need me, you don't need me. I will stand aside and allow you to go it your own way. And many of us have going it our own. We should not even remotely despise or have disregard for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I mean in terms of power and the miraculous. Don't even remotely, if you make a comment that if you want to ask brethren to walk in character, do it straight without despising the other part. Many have made comments and went the other way, and it grieved the Holy Spirit. And he will just stand back and allow you to do your own thing. Beloved brethren, God does not draw, has never withdrawn his spirit from the earth. The spirit of God is still here. He is still performing miracles. He is still performing signs and wonders. It's not everything that is done in miracles done on crusade grounds by the church system that is by demons. So not all of them are by the spirits of the frog. Do you understand? That one is there, but the genuine is also here. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We must go for the genuine. We must go for the genuine. It takes the ability of the Holy Spirit to live right. A man who is living in sin, who does not have or is bound by a demon of uncleanness cannot live a holy life. You need the gift of the Spirit to cast it out so that he can live righteously. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I must hurry up so that we begin to pray. The way God looked at the sin of leprosy, I won't have time to go into it. The sin of leprosy was treated by God. When I read the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 13 and in Numbers chapter 19, the waters of separation, the way God handled the matter of sin simply amazes me. He said when leprosy is detected on somebody, he said you separate him, isolate him for 7 days. After 7 days, you take a look. Of course, prophetically, it's not 7 physical days. When a man is seen to have fallen into sin, isolate him, call him, put him on some form of discipline and observe him. He is to be observed. It's not a question of, okay, now you are forgiven today, so I continue with what you are doing. You have not helped him. Let him get off ministry, get off other things, and stay with God. Seek God's face. Rather than cast somebody out of the church, you know the kind of punishment we give? We say, well, you have committed sin. Say, from today, you are sentenced to sitting in front. You'll be sitting in the front of the church. Because you have not heard the word of God, that's why you went into sin. Some of our young people who are falling into these things are very busy, running around, carrying instruments, doing all manner of things, and they don't hear the word of God. Look at the volume of word that have come in this meeting. People can run around and not hear a word. To say from today, you must be in every meeting unless you traveled and you have to tell us. If the travel is not necessary, we will suspend it for you. Sit in front and hear the word of God. We make him do that. We observe him, how obedient he is. We observe him for a while. That is 7 days. After that, when you can see that he has fruit of repentance indeed, you call him and minister to him and pray for him. And let him continue with a lot of care to do what he was doing before. We treat sin with too much levity. Somebody come, oh, I fell into fornication. You say, I don't do it again. Oh, go and continue what you are doing. No, you have not helped him. That's not Bible.
Read it in the Old Testament. I'm not saying practice Old Testament 7 days. Remember, it's a prophetic thing. Sin was never taken lightly. God said, if a man is found in uncleanness on the third day, you wait for the third day before you apply the waters of separation to cleanse him. After you've applied the water, you wait till the seventh day before he is clean. It's not a question of coming today, he committed his sin today. You apply the waters and he is clean today. That's not what the Bible teaches. Water is applied the third day. He will not be clean until the seventh day. So let us not think we can just come and slap God around in the face with sin and get away with it at personal, corporate, and national levels. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second thing I would like to take briefly is prayers. We have been talking on repentance. These are the things we must do for the glory of God to shine forth. Prayers. God said we must address the situation. We must ask of the Lord pointedly. When we face challenges, beloved brethren, let us not go dancing about it. Address the situation. The sword of the Spirit is the